Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. The final hour of the show on this Thursday. Max Scherzer on the mound. Redskins playing the Falcons. Underway. Thanks for listening to Grant and Danny. Much appreciate you making this show an option you care about. We know you've got plenty of them today's day and age. So there was a report out this morning from the other radio station in town, or one of the other radio stations in town, I guess I should say. Kevin Sheehan of the Team 980, he had on his morning show that the Patriots were willing to offer their 2020 first-round pick for Trent Williams. That's gotten a little bit of run now in the idea being the Redskins turned down the first-round pick from the Patriots. I've never seen that definitively said. I know that it was speculated. I know that a lot of people
there
have
was
just
rumor,
kind of casually referenced the idea. Well, if the Patriots are going to give you a one, it's basically the 30th or 31st pick, and people have talked about that a lot. It was, I think that's a good word. I think it was a rumor for some time that New England wanted Trent Williams, that maybe they would offer a first-round pick for him. So that was what was said this morning, was that the Patriots were willing to give up their late first-round pick. And I say late because they're very likely to get deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, what's the best that pick's going to be, 27?
Ian Rappaport has come out, though, of NFL Media. You know him from NFL Network and from hanging up on Chad Dukes very occasionally. He says, quote, "From what I understand, this is false. Unequivocally not true was the precise wording, so carry on." Obviously, I think that comes from the Patriots, not the Redskins. There is no benefit, even if it's completely, categorically untrue, for Washington to come out and correct that. That team didn't offer us a crazy impressive package for Trent Williams, led by a first-round pick. They should be spreading the word incorrectly that somebody did offer them a first-rounder.
I'm not saying they're not out there, but I'm also not saying that offers are out there. That's
honestly,
for the Redskins, yeah?
If I'm a Redskins executive, I'm picking up the phone and calling any of us, and I'm going, hey, by the way, I just want you to know, two teams have offered us first-rounders, and one of those teams offered us a first and a second.
And we told them it's not enough.
Even if that's not true, because all it does is drive up the price in the media. Now, Kevin Sheehan is not a national reporter like Ian Rappaport is. He's based here in Washington, D.C. He's a talk show host like you and I. He's not even a reporter, but he will occasionally get these nuggets like you and I do, and he's good about kind of dropping them in during his show. Sharp guy. Clearly, that came from somebody with the Redskins. He's not talking to somebody with the Patriots. You know, I love to play the game of where is this coming from? Where did this information leak out of?
Who benefits? Cui bono?
The Redskins, somebody in or around or linked to the organization, gave him that nugget. Well, obviously the Redskins stand to be the beneficiary if it's thought that someone offered them a first-round pick, whether it happened or not. When Rappaport, who's got a long history with the Patriots, then refutes that and comes back and says unequivocally not true, who told him? I would say New England.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the question really at the end of all this. Kind of a he said, she said kind of deal now. Aren't the Patriots better off if it seems like they didn't actually offer a first-round pick for Trent Williams? Or does it not matter? I mean, look, I would quell and fight against any rumor if the rumor was they offered, just pick a random Patriot, Josh Gordon,
mm-hmm,
for Trent Williams. I'd come out and stop that right away if I'm with the Patriots through a reporter so that the player knows, dude, we didn't try to trade you, because that can actually hurt your locker room.
Yeah,
that can look
stuff
bad.
Swirls around, right?
It's not like this inanimate object draft pick has feelings. They don't have to come out and put the kibosh on that report. So is there something for them to gain by lying and telling Ian Rappaport unequivocally not true, false? Why do that? What's the big fault of people thinking you offered a first rounder for Williams?
If you're rebuffed, if you if you look, I'm trying to come up with it. If you look foolish that you thought this would get it done, idiot, I don't know. But to me, this is a, we're not going to be privy to your drumming up the price. We're not going to be privy to you guys using our names for artificial rumors. Remember, for years, the Redskins were this. The Yankees were always this in baseball, where, you know who I heard? There was a big market team that was interested in my client, said Scott Boras. Okay, so now you got to go up that many more millions because you know the Yankees coffers are, you know, undefeated. Same with the Redskins. They would not let guys get off the plane and just double their own offers and bid against themselves. So I wonder if it's just a, yeah, you can't use us. You can use somebody else, but not us.
If they saw that story and said, it's not true, why even allow that to be out there?
Yeah, because I'm wondering if, so this is the sequence to me. This story is out there, let's say, right? There, it's the Patriots offered a first rounder. They're so desperate, and they're not happy with what's going on at left tackle, because that's the implication, right? They don't like Isaiah Wynn, the kid they drafted last year. They don't think he can do it, so they're going to draft a first rounder or give up a first rounder because they think they can win a Super Bowl if they have Trent Williams. Because then it's like you're talking about, it might undermine the confidence, the development of that player. And it's also using the Patriots' name to drum up some marketplace that may or may not exist. They still may want Trent Williams, but not at a first. Maybe they want to give up a third. Yeah. Whatever, right?
So, but, oh, you know what? You just had me thinking about something. What if this deal goes down and they had to give up more than a first? You know, so like, let's say the deal ultimately gets made and they give up a one and a three. It looks worse on them if originally they offered a one and then the Redskins won because they played hardball, hung out, and then got an extra third or something.
And so the way I envision it going is the rumor comes out from the Redskins side, by the way, where they're going, by the way, there's a marketplace. Just letting you guys know this is the deal. And so Ian Rappaport goes, beep, boop, 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 boop. New England Patriots, how may I direct your call?
That? That's not like you.
Hey, I heard you guys offered a first rounder. Nope, unequivocally false. We didn't do anything like that. That's ridiculous. Didn't happen. Let them spin whatever narrative they want. Just know that we're not privy to it. We're happy with our club. That's how I see that going.
It would not shock me if New England, I know they called about Williams. I'm sure a lot of teams did.
Yeah.
But if in that conversation something was said by the Redskins, like it would take a number one, and the Patriots at that time, it's very casual, said, okay, we might be able to do that. Let's get back in touch. And does that end up in this game of telephone, meaning they offered a first rounder? I don't know, because I've never really thought the Redskins were imminently going to trade Williams or in a rush to do it. I think they feel like if they do it right before the trade deadline, great. The longer they wait, potentially the more they're going to get because of an injury. There's another part of this, though, too, which is not to try to decipher which side is lying, the Redskins or the Patriots, and it is not to try to decipher where this came from, but rather, let's say the Patriots did offer the Redskins a first-round pick, or will at some point, and that probably ends up being, at best, they get upset in the playoffs, like the 26th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough to trade Trent Williams? Yes or no? And I think that's something we could take some calls on at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I told you weeks ago, and I'm standing by this, I don't care if it's the second pick or the 28th pick. If I can get a one back for Trent Williams, I am pulling the trigger to do that. He may not play here again. He doesn't want to be here. That normally results not in a relationship being fixed, but in a guy becoming a malcontent. And a first-round pick, even in the late first, is uber valuable. The Redskins have had two first-round picks like three times in decades. That would be awesome next season for a young building organization. That doesn't mean I would do it tomorrow, by the way. If the Patriots gave me we'll give you a first-rounder, but he has to be here for 16 games, and we got to get the deal done now, then I actually probably would not do it because I'll wait for that injury at left tackle and maybe get a first and a fifth from somebody, or a second and a third, or whatever it might be. But if I get a number one offer from New England for Williams, as much as I love that guy and how great he's been, Danny, I'm doing that deal.
Yeah, and I would do it now. And I understand your point, and you're right.
You say you would before or no? I don't even remember.
Well, if I get that, that's my reserve bid.
Oh, you're saying you'd do it now, not like you've changed your mind. You'd do it now, meaning today rather than waiting.
Yeah, gotcha. So if I get a first rounder from anybody, I'm taking it. That's my reserve bid.
Immediately.
That's my minimum bet. Because now, or minimum bid, rather. But
even if it's likely the 32nd pick in the draft.
Yes.
Doesn't bother you?
No. I'd rather have better, but it's like one of those things where we go, we could wait and maybe get more. I'm a security, rather have it resolved and done kind of guy. And, yeah, potentially, if we held out, maybe we would have gotten a first and a fourth, or a first and a third if something worked out great and there was a bidding war as the season starts to progress. But what if every left tackle stays healthy? What if, you know, the Texans are actually happy with the guy that they have filling in? What if Isaiah Wynn plays well in the third preseason game? What if the market never develops? I basically have in my mind, if I get past this threshold, I'm doing it. And that first-round pick is what it is for me. I'm doing it. You could, if you don't have the first-round pick in hand in terms of offers, I would probably wait. I would say, let's see what's drummed up because I can afford to play the waiting game here. I'm not going anywhere this year anyway. I can maybe get into business with a second and third or maybe just a second and then like a future second, whatever the market ends up being. I'll wait for it. But if I get that reserve price, like you think of that eBay bid, I'm not going to have any more anxiety. It's going to be done. He's off my ledger. Headache removed. Questions removed. I've got my first round pick to go into it. That is a win for me.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, a guest on Chad's show yesterday, went hard in the paint like Shaq in Orlando on Bruce Allen.
And don't go on, everybody.
We'll let you hear what they said, and we'll react to it next. Also want to hear from you guys. There is now a report that the rumor that the Patriots were willing to give up a one for the Redskins happened, although Ian Rappaport of NFL Media is saying that it didn't happen and it's not true. Making sense of that is less significant than, let's say, someone is willing to give up a late first round.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pick Patriots or somebody else. Would you pull the trigger or would you hold out hope that Williams either returns for the next couple of years, happy to play for you, walks back through the door, or maybe that you get more back? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. We've got tickets to Top Golf Crush at Nationals Park at 145, and we've got one more audio clip coming your way. When you hear the next one, you got to know all three. You got to make the call. You can win your way into the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League. We draft Thursday night. If you're not in the league, no problem. Come out to Glory Days Grill in Alexandria. Watch the Skins' final preseason game. Hang out with us while we draft and do a little shtick circle.
A little shtick.
It's going to be a good time.
A little bit of shtick.
Craig Hoffman, bottom of the hour at 1:30 on the Redskins and the Falcons live from Atlanta. We're going to get to your calls on Trent Williams and whether or not you'd take the first-round pick the Patriots reportedly offered, although there are now conflicting reports on whether they did, coming up in just a moment. 800-636-1067. I wanted to play this clip, though, Danny. You heard this, I know, like I did.
Yeah.
You wanted to play this, and we're like, dude, we got through this. This is pretty compelling. This is the kind of thing you normally hear, like Eric Bickle saying, or you know, Chris Russell. How about a columnist at the Washington Post, who is right now the foremost columnist on the Redskins at the paper, on Bruce Allen? Bruce, who has yet to speak about any of this Trent Williams holdout stuff. The only times he has spoke, he said to, I think it was NBC Sports Washington in an interview, "I know the truth." We don't know what that means. The only other time he spoke was the day before training camp started, and he said that because he knew the truth, he knew that Trent Williams was going to be showing up at training camp the next day.
"We expect him tomorrow," is what he said.
Not only did he not show up the next day, that was a month ago now, he still hasn't reported for work. Now, this is what Barry Sferluga said about Bruce Allen during this whole Trent Williams saga.
"Exactly what you said about Jay Gruden being left to address a situation that is not of his making and it's not of his responsibility, I think is reprehensible. I think it's disgusting that Bruce Allen has not said anything, and what he has said has been bold-faced lies. And so you can't trust any. I mean, at one level, it's disgusting that he hasn't said anything. On the second level, if he said something, you can't trust it anyway. So what good is it? So you're in this kind of cycle of evil with that.
I mean, that is so strong. And Sverluga went so hard. Reprehensible.
That's my favorite word in there because I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Disgusting. Bold-faced lies. And then he said if he actually did speak, you couldn't trust what he said anyway. He referred to it as a cycle of evil. Look, I have said this. I know you agree with me. The fact that Bruce Allen, who, to give him credit, did speak a few times this offseason, more than he traditionally does. It's been a while now, but he did at one point. It was really when they were taking their victory lap after
post-draft.
The draft. But even before that, at the Senior Bowl, he talked, and I'm trying to remember specifically at that time. I think that was the first time he talked, and they kind of gave a non-update on Alex Smith. He spoke a few times in the span of 6 or 7 weeks, and it was unlike anything we'd seen, and we thought, we praised him, this is hopeful. This is a potential future of him actually being transparent and talking as the general manager of the football team. Well, here we are now. Supposedly, Trent Williams has an issue with Bruce Allen. That's part of the report. He has an issue with your training staff that you chose not to make any changes on. Oh, by the way, Colt McCoy, still not ready. Darius Geis, just now getting the green light. Alex Smith, one problem after another. Now, he's never going to play again with or without a good training staff. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's not like things have gone well with other players. There's been no comment on any of that. There's been no answer to any of those questions. And when you have spoken, you said two things that were either completely incorrect because you had a bad read on the situation, if we want to give you full credit and extra credit, or worse, just complete lies.
False.
Just incorrect, erroneous statements.
And so for people that the Redskins, you know, tweet team super homers that get mad at this sort of conversation, where they'll say, you guys are going to kill him no matter what he says. Why should he talk? When you make the money that he makes, when you have the responsibility over both sides of Redskins operations, both football and business, when you sit in big chairs, you have what's called big responsibilities. You must be accountable. That's why governors, when there's a scandal, have to talk. That's why presidents have to talk. It's why CEOs have to meet with shareholders. That's what you are as fans. You are shareholders of the Redskins. Not the way the Packers do it, but the de facto way that we all do it. You buy in with your money, your energy, your time, your effort. You are owed explanations. And it's up to you to do what you want with those explanations. You could buy them or sell them. You could not believe what he says. That's your right. He could lie to you. The fact that he'll take a publicity tour when everything is great. Well, you see it. We love our draft. We're getting ready to bring these guys to minicamp draft. We drafted well. You need to stand up when Reuben Foster happens. You need to stand up when Brian LaFemina happens. You need to stand up when you fire this person, that person, and everybody else. You need to stand up when Scott McLuhan gets let go and you planted a story in the Washington Post about him. You need to be accountable when it's good, when it's bad, and everything in between. That's what the job is supposed to be. If you don't want to do that, it's your right not to do that. Then you can't have the job, in my opinion. Then somebody else needs to do it.
But you can have the job, and you just won't be very good at the job. And that's the type of thing that leads to you not being good at the job in other areas. And that's how you lose every single year.
So when EB and others vilify him, this is why. Because when it's bad, when the things are swirling, he's nowhere to be found.
We're all guilty of this. I'm not in any way taking a shot at EB. I think he's brutally honest. I'm not taking a shot at Russell. I think he is honest. But we have a platform here. And to some extent, it's part of what bothers me sometimes. We don't get credit a lot of the times because we're just radio and we're just, shock jocks. We're loud. We say crazy things. We don't really go out to the games and we just sit in our chairs and scream or whatever it is. And it's the reason why oftentimes writers are taken more seriously or the PR staffs, for the most part in town, we get taken pretty good care of on this show, but they will prefer other mediums to sports talk radio. But yes, we are going to go harder on a guy like Bruce Allen than they will in other platforms. Part of it is we've got less to lose. A big part of it is we're more honest on this platform because we're allowed to be. Like, we don't have to protect maybe a source for a future story or take care of someone because we've got some relationship where
point.
We're embedded with a team.
That's why it's so meaningful to me that Barry did that.
Sometimes it's negative. It's honest. And yes, that's a columnist at the Post, a dignified, respected guy at the Post using those words. I mean, words that you'd hear one of us screaming at the top of our lungs. Edward Bladensburg, would you give up Trent Williams for a first-round pick?
I absolutely would. Here's why. You're going to eat some of that money, but if you can trade him away, save some of that money, sign Brandon Sheriff, because I believe Morgan Moses is already under a new contract, draft a new left tackle, work him in. You had three young tackles. You had three young offensive linemen under contract, and you could.
Phone's breaking up. It's a good phone call as always, buddy. Hunter, Fort Hood, are you giving up Williams for a late one from New England if they offer it?
Of course I am, boys. And here's the deal. Antonio Brown is a generational talent, and they traded him for a third and a fifth. We're talking about a first-round pick, a pick you can pick a guy like Montez Sweat at. Darius Geis was a late second-round pick. There's value in the late first round, and you can get it in a guy like Montez Sweat or Darius Geis. And if I have to give up Trent Williams, the guy who's dead weight for that, sure, I'm going to do it. It's better than letting them sit there just taking up space.
Yeah, Harry, one of the first wide receivers off the board this year, was available there. Mm-hmm. You know, N'Keal Harry. I mean, this is a spot where you can get a starter at almost every position. Kenny, Mechanicsville.
I would say no, because Trent Williams' value is a lot better than a 27, 28 first-round pick. If I'm going to trade it to the Patriots, I want something back in value, as in one of their abundance of slot receivers, a left guard, maybe their left tackle. Your thoughts?
Well, thank you, buddy.
Maybe you could have a player in a mid-round pick or something like that. It sounds like you want more immediate, proven player results right away.
Yeah, if I want Isaiah Wynn in a pick.
I would rather a first-rounder than any slot receiver, just about. I would rather a first-rounder than a left guard. I could take the best left guard in the country who's cheaper, younger, and has more upside than whatever left guard the Patriots are giving you. Now, a tackle, we could have that conversation if they got a good tackle. They're not giving up one to get one. If they had one, they wouldn't be doing this to begin with.
Yeah.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Craig Hoffman's in Atlanta. The Redskins play the Falcons tonight. He'll give us a preview on the game next on G&D.
I'm PJ Elliott. We are sponsored by the Washington Regional Alcohol Program. Nats have scored 10 or more runs in 5 of their last 7 games. Winners last night over the Pirates 11-1. They've now won 8 of their last 10 and remain 6 games back of the Braves for the lead in the East. However, they're a game and a half up on the Cardinals for the top spot in the NL wild card race. Series wraps up tonight in Pittsburgh. 7:05 first pitch. Looks like we could see some rain up in Pittsburgh. Charlie Slows, Pete Medhurst have the call tonight. Nats on Deck starts at 6:35 right here on The Fan as Max Scherzer gets the start returning from the...
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Craig Hoffman is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. As always, he is driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and lindsayford.com. He's in Atlanta for the Redskins and the Falcons. Craig, Jay Gruden made it sound like a quarter and a half to 2 quarters for the starters. What's your guess? Do we see them finish the first half?
I think it depends completely on how it goes in that first quarter and a half. If they find some success, then they will play just that quarter and a half. If they are struggling, I think they play all the way through halftime, and maybe if it goes really poorly into the third quarter. I think just finding a rhythm, finding some confidence is really what Jay Gruden is looking for. Hopefully they can get that out of the way early and get it done against Atlanta's ones, as opposed to struggling and then maybe you find some success against Atlanta's twos if they pull some of their guys early, which they very well might because they've had a ton of injury issues on defense. But I think it depends, and that's why Jay gives the range as opposed to a definitive plan.
Who's got the most to prove tonight? I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, quarterback solidifying the gig or whatever, but among guys that we're finally going to see or who've been working, who's got something on the line?
I think the bottom half of the receiving depth chart, which does include Josh Doctson. I think that Terry McLaurin, Paul Richardson, Trey Quinn are all on this team. Quinn's not going to play tonight, but so that leaves a ton of opportunity. So Steven Sims, can he prove himself so valuable as a returner and as a backup slot guy with Quinn being so far injury prone in his career that they feel like they can't let him go? Robert Davis, can he continue a stellar preseason? Cam Sims was awesome in Richmond, but hasn't done a whole lot in games yet. Can he make a statement that he definitively belongs on this team and maybe even belongs starting on this team. I think obviously the same can be said for Josh that I just said about Cam, that he belongs and that he should be the starter. There's a reason he's been with the ones. And, you know, Kelvin Harmon too, I think his spot is pretty safe because he's a draft pick, but with all these other guys floating around, you know, he does need to go out and continue to show why he belongs. And so I think that receiver core is really the one position battle left. And, you know, they're not just fighting against each other. I think in a way they're fighting collectively to see how many of them can make it on the roster. Cause right now, you know, even keeping narrowing it down to seven, nevertheless, six or five is going to be a ridiculously difficult task.
There's some Buzz McAllister that Josh Doctson could be traded. Curious if you think that is a legitimate possibility.
Possibility, sure, but they've been trying it for a year and a half, 2 years. Like, it's in news in that he's on the block. It'd be news if someone actually wants him. And not to say that the Redskins are looking to necessarily give him away and that, if they were to cut him, he wouldn't get picked up tomorrow somewhere else. It's just, is a team willing to give up, even a conditional draft pick? Or if he does go somewhere else and produce, the Redskins didn't just punt a first-round pick for nothing. They're probably more likely to do that deal with less, coming back now, obviously, because Doctson's going into the final year of his deal. And this is, in all likelihood, it would take a very bizarre set of circumstances for him to be here beyond this year. So I think that trading him is a possibility, but I don't know that the best value is still probably just having him play out the year here if he is indeed worthy of making this roster.
Buzz, your girlfriend, woof. At Craig Hoffman on Twitter, give him a follow if you care about the Redskins and Redskins information. Craig, let's go to the secondary. We all feel good about Landon Collins. We kind of know what we got in the Josh Norman, Quentin Dunbar situation. After that, how's it going to shake out? I'm thinking of the other safety spot and then maybe some of these other corners. There's a lot of names we know, but I don't know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Order of operations.
Yeah, I mean, Monte Nicholson is obviously the other starter, and I think he's had a pretty good spring and a pretty good summer. There's still going to be these moments where he's in the out of position and all that kind of stuff. Sure, he's still a young player, and he's raw in a lot of ways, but he is physically as gifted as it gets at that position. You see, the speed on display last week on the pick six. You see the physicality on display all the time. But then it gets dicey. I mean, DeShazer Everett is a terrific third safety, a guy who can play in some spots. They have some packages, specifically against bigger personnel, where he comes in and gets to go downhill and be a thumper in the run game. That's where he's at his best. And then as a special teams ace, he is their special teams captain, or was last year, presumably will be again their special teams captain this year. That is a great spot to have that kind of player in. After that, though, Troy Apke is still a lot to be desired, a lot of learning still to be done for him. But I think he's at least at a level where it wouldn't be an unmitigated disaster if he played like it was last year, although it still wouldn't be good. And then I think there is a chance for a fifth safety. I think Jeremy Reeves has a real shot at making this team, a guy who, again, is good on special teams. He's a very similar kind of player to Apke and Everett, traits type of player, maybe not the most instinctual, maybe not this super cerebral processor, but from a physicality standpoint, from a speed standpoint, has all of the top traits. So I think that's kind of where we stand there with the secondary. And then, at the corner spot, it somewhat sorted itself out. Adonis Alexander getting hurt is going to cost him a roster spot. If anything, he goes on IR and they keep him around and try again next year. But he was back in individual drill this week, and I still don't think that's going to be enough for him unless all of a sudden he just goes out and shows something amazing in the fourth preseason game. I don't know that he makes this team, which leaves six corners. You have the two guys you mentioned. You have Fabian Moreau, who's not going to play tonight with an ankle injury. You have Jimmy Moreland, who's been awesome, and I think that's an intriguing part of the secondary talk, is does he overtake Moreau in the slot? And then you have Greg Stroman and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Danny Johnson's on PUP, so you have a little bit there in terms of depth that you can bring in midseason if someone goes down. But Alexander's a guy who I think winds up being odd man out there. The good news is, because he's barely played, you can practice squad him if nobody else wants him.
What are the coaches saying, Craig, about Penn versus Christian for the left tackle job?
I think it depends on who you ask. You know, certain coaches are saying one thing, other coaches and front office people will tell you a little bit different. So it tells me that it's pretty close right now. I think right now Christian has the upper hand. I think that could change tonight. Christian was pretty good the other day. Penn wasn't awesome, but they were about the same level. Penn's working his way back into game shape and should be getting better. Christian's getting experience and should be better. I think that toughness that Penn brings, the nastiness, the level of understanding of what it takes to succeed in the NFL is still something that Jaren Christian is not at yet. Even they knew this when they drafted him. He's a finesse player. He's a good pass blocker with good technique. And, you know, when he gets coached up and has the chance to practice it, with all that stuff, and he needs to get a lot stronger. But he's gotten physically stronger. So now the question is, can he develop the mentality that you need to play offensive line in the NFL? And that's the big question with him that could separate him from a guy who's pretty good week in and week out, but nothing special, to a guy that has the potential to be really, really good. And you heard guys like Mel Kiper last year when the Redskins drafted him saying, hey, this guy might be the steal of the draft. He could be awesome. He could be a Pro Bowler. But that takes a mentality to play offensive line at that level. And that's something that Christian does not seem to have developed yet.
Craig, the Josh Doctson, you've gone with this and others have too, that he's in danger, and you wouldn't expect the first round pick only a few years in to be in danger of not making the roster. I was surprised when Mason Foster was cut. Is there another guy that you could speculate and say, hey, he may not be on as secure ground as we all think?
That's a really good question, Danny. I don't know. I say that, you know, having done a little bit of an exercise the other day where I actually basically put a grade on everybody, and it's either, you know, has a case, doesn't have a case. And I only had 54 guys that I felt like had a real case. Now I'm probably missing a couple. There's probably so like, and I know positionally it did not add up well. I only had 54 and there was 8 receivers. So that tells you right there that they're not just going to take my list minus one receiver, which is the only tough call they have. And all of a sudden that's your list. Mm-hmm. So I think there's probably like an inside or outside linebacker that winds up getting added. And then the question becomes like, who's the other player that I have on my list that winds up getting chopped? But I mean, it was literally anybody that I thought had a chance. And so, you know, a guy like Jeremy Reeves, who I just mentioned the secondary thing, like he was on that list. So I think that's kind of the interesting thing. Like, I feel pretty good about that 54. And maybe even a couple other guys. Like, I wonder if a guy like Marquise Flowers, their third inside linebacker, or their third string Mike linebacker, does he wind up playing his way onto the team? You know, this kid they just signed from Texas, whose name I'm totally blanking on. Maybe it's DJ Johnson. The linebacker they just signed is an undrafted guy who's got a ton of speed. Like, do they keep him around if he's impressive over the past couple weeks? Because they'd be thin at linebacker otherwise. But I don't know who that really boots off. And even then, there's some wiggle room where I don't think, like, some of these back end.
You talking about Gary Johnson,
Gary
right?
Johnson?
Gary Johnson. Yeah.
Thanks. Presidential candidate.
Or maybe Keenan Robinson, one of the two. He was also from Texas.
He was. He was also fast. And by the end of his time here, not very good. So there seems to be a lot in common there. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe this Gary Johnson guy turns into being a player. You know, John Bostic was bouncing around the league, and all of a sudden he's a starter. So, long meandering answer to, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be a surprise cut on cut down day, but you just never know how the numbers play out, and maybe something weird does happen.
Craig, enjoy Atlanta. Eat something delicious. Don't be unfun.
I just got back from a barbecue lunch, and now I'm going to take a nap.
All right, that sounds great.
Good for you.
Sounds like a good day so far. Thank you, buddy.
Excellent. See ya.
Bye. Craig Hoffman, driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and lindsayford.com. 0% financing. Up to 130% of KBB for trades and no payments till fall. You'll love it at lindsayford.com. We will make our predictions for what we will see from the Redskins tonight, as well as Max Scherzer next. And I think we could meet the first new member of our Grant and Danny Fantasy League
very
as well.
Exciting, yes.
You're listening to The Fan.
Potato chip. I tried to feed this field, and I pulled it back. It's very good. It's a terrific impression, believe me.
That's better. That's better than meat.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, welcome back, and thank you much for listening today and every day. Online, too, let's meet the newest member of the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League in 2019. Andrew is in Gaithersburg. What's up, Andrew? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great, buddy.
Congratulations. Welcome to the G&D Fantasy League. I'm sure Darwin over all the specifics. You got to be at the draft on Thursday night at Glory Days Grill in Alexandria.
I will be there.
Very good. Are you now? Are you a big fantasy football guy? Are you pretty good? Do you play a lot?
I do. I'm in a few other leagues. So this will be my second one I'll be drafting for. I have one the night before, so looking forward to joining you guys on next Thursday.
Nice, buddy. So you remember buying $6,000, right? You're cool with that?
No problem at all. And yeah. As long as the winner takes home the full pot, I'm good with that.
No, the winner only gets home like the it's 100 each. It's operating costs. It's a whole big thing. It's to pay for the sponsorships and stuff. But that's fine, right?
Yeah.
Just have the cash.
Dar's going to iron out some details and get you squared away to come out on Thursday night. So I'm going to throw you back on hold. But we wanted to say congrats and welcome aboard.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
Right, much appreciated. You can be like Andrew.
Be like Andrew.
And win one of the spots in the G&D Listener Fantasy League tomorrow and every day up and through Wednesday. Our draft is Thursday night just by listening to the show. There's going to be three clues that kind of drop in, audio clips that Thom plays. Sometimes it's from the sound machine. Sometimes it's wacky things that have happened on the air with us here at The Fan. And you got to be hearing them. And as soon as you hear all three, you can get to your phone and call in, and you can be in the league today. We are dubbing Embarrassed Danny Day. Tomorrow will be Embarrassed Me Day. You can play your chicken and waffles bit.
I bet you there's more of me. There's more Danny
Embarrassed.
There's
a few in the chamber. I've heard bit day, though. There's a couple of me saved in some folder, too. So.
Well, I didn't think the third one was embarrassing. I was put on the spot trying to go back and forth with Frank Caliendo doing impressions. I thought I handled myself okay.
You did. It was just uncomfortable.
It certainly was.
Because here's why it was uncomfortable.
Because AWOD said that I was funnier than their comic guest that was in the studio, and JP was like, "Bring him in." I'm like, "Oh my god,
well, that was terrible." Yes, but also, do you know what Caliendo doesn't want?
That
for you to do an impression for Caliendo.
Yeah, he shouldn't
in
be.
Fact,
he shouldn't have to have had to deal with that at all.
He's friends with the Junkies, so he played very nice.
Yeah,
we had him on the show one time before that,
and we referenced that during that appearance. Yeah.
And he could not have been more unfriendly. And like, Frank Caliendo, by all accounts, is a great guy. I met him when I was a kid, and he was awesome to me. But that day, it was like the biggest mistake we've ever made to try to book him. He was either busy or something was going on in his life.
We never aired it. We never aired it because it was so bad.
No, it was live, I think.
No, we taped it. It was after the fact. Yeah.
Well, then it definitely didn't make air. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But he was just not interested.
So
what
usually happens is like he goes somewhere, he's like in Indianapolis, and they're like, "Hey, what would it sound like if Al Pacino ordered an ice cream from John Madden?" And then he does it, and they're just like, yuck it up, and that's that. I actually wanted to ask him, as a fellow comic who's nowhere near as successful as him, you know, about kind of the craft and how you do some of the things that you do and things that I thought he'd be excited to talk about. And you know who was wrong? Was me. He wanted to talk about none of that.
Well,
he didn't want to talk to us at all. After about a minute and a half, he gave his index finger is pointed sideways, and then he made a rolling wheel motion.
Wrap it up, boys.
As if to say, let's hurry this up.
He was also staring at his phone, working on an email that he was like crafting on his phone with his thumbs the entire time. And so like we would finish a question, and he'd kind of look up, and you could tell he had no idea what we just asked. I mean, it was brutal. And it was, by the way, your Super Bowl. You were so excited, as you just said. You were so happy. But then you're like, do you do the pizza formation of the face? Do you do the pizza slice where you have the eyes and the nose and the mouth, the pizza slice when you do your impressions? Which is like this thing, no disrespect, that thought was going to impress him. And he was going to be like, oh, this guy's an insider.
Completely unimpressed.
It. And he goes, no, never heard of the pizza face. It was...
And it was quite literally based on an interview that he'd already given.
It was so embarrassing.
It was awful.
Oh, that was really from an interview?
So he was explaining, and this is something that he does. Again, he's one of the masters in the history of this thing in terms of impressions. And he likes
By the way, your Barkley, so much better than
I think it's better than his, but that's not important. What's important
so
is he's,
much better.
He's excellent at so many. He has the definitive impression on like five or six different people.
Incredible.
He's amazing.
He's one of my favorites.
And one of the things that he does better than everybody else is he gets some of the expressions and the tics, and he makes his face so that it's that much better of an impression. It's that much more visual. And the way he does that, he studies certain parts and is able to recreate some of those traits. And so I was asking him specifically about that instead of just getting the voice down. And his actual answer, as he looked up from the phone and said, I don't know, man, I just kind of do it. And I was like, great. terrific. How many more minutes are we here? How many more minutes is this going to go?
But what about the pizza formation on the face?
Yeah, that was you do the pizza slice. Like, what do you study first? Which way do you pick it up? Do you give yourself a little kit?
By the way,
zero interest.
I mean, and you can out me anytime you want to for doing this, because I'll do this with like football coaches sometimes. I'll know they said something in the past, and I'll try to kind of make it comfortable for them by saying it. Your pizza face thing fell so flat.
It fell flatter than when I asked one of my best friends about an inside reference that we lived for years, and he didn't respond for a full 15 seconds.
He forgot. Oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway, congratulations to Andrew. Welcome to the Fantasy
League. Way to capitalize on my embarrassment.
Quick prediction tonight, if they play, because it's supposed to rain, I say the Nats do beat the Pirates. I got a 7-3 score. I think Max goes 6 innings, allows 3 runs.
I'm going 5 innings in the same. I think it's just a work back. Let's just get through where he feels okay tomorrow. Results be damned.
I think Haskins plays better than he did against the Browns, worse maybe than he did against the Bengals. I think he throws a pick tonight. But in the end, we come out of this ready for football, hopefully healthy, and we like what we saw from Darius Geis.
I'm just hoping for him, same kind of deal, where he just feels fine tomorrow. He makes it through the game. I just want to see some of these kids, some of these receiver kids that I've heard an inordinate number of words about. I think Haskins is probably 10 for 18, touching a pick, and looks okay.
Chad Dukes versus the world is up next. Time for tickets to be given away to Topgolf Crush at Nationals Park. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You are winning a pair of tickets to Topgolf Crush. It is coming to Nats Park Thursday through Sunday. Now's your chance. Tee it up at Nats Park. Glowing targets, private bays, top tracer tech. Tickets on sale now at nationals.com, courtesy of Topgolf. More details at thefandc.com/contests. We'll be back at it tomorrow after the game to break down everything that we saw from the Redskins on a Football Friday. Talk to you then.
Big deal today. Obviously, the Redskins play, but Chad's got a big show planned for you. Run differential, ultimately and always thought it was a good predictive model of how good a team actually is. Chad doesn't think so. 4.5 hours.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.